Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 96 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at the Ankeny office of Iowa Realty. Iowa Realty is a proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. Well, we're going to talk a lot of high school baseball and softball today, as both Ankeny and Centennial hosted big doubleheaders against Johnston and Urbandale, respectively, on Monday night. So we're going to break down all of those games with all four of the Ankeny and Centennial coaches. We'll also be previewing the much-anticipated Jag-Hawk doubleheaders coming up on Wednesday. And this could be the only meeting between the two schools in this COVID-shortened 2020 season, so that makes tomorrow's games all the more significant. In a little while, we'll be visiting with both of the baseball coaches. But right now, let's get things started with some softball. My first guest is in his second season as the head coach at Centennial, and he's guided the 11th-ranked Jaguars to a 13-3 record thus far. He's Brett Delaney. Brett, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Hey, pretty good. Thank you for having me today.
Hey, you bet. Well, your team was able to get a sweep over Urbandale last night. It was two entirely different games, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, Urbandale's a good squad, and they come prepared every day. The first game, we had to find a way to grind out just one run, and that one run held up in the sixth inning for us. And Matty Huseman threw well in the circle, and it was an interesting game because our bats weren't our typical bats for the year. So we had to find a way to get a run, and we found a way to get that one run and come away with a victory in that first game.
Well, yeah, you mentioned Maddie. She tossed a four-hitter and had eight strikeouts, and she had to get out of a jam in the seventh inning, didn't she?
Yeah, I believe we had bases loaded in that seventh inning. I think they also tried to squeeze in that seventh inning, and we had another senior in Kennedy Jones step up and find a way to make a play and get that out at home and save that that tying run for us. And, you know, we challenge our players and every day that we can, and they rose up and found a way to get out of that jam and come away with a victory.
Well, then in the nightcap, your team scored six runs in the third inning. You went on to post a 17-8 win, and that sets a new season high for most runs in a game. You had five players with multiple hits in that game, so it was really just a team effort, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, we talk about how everybody has their roles on the team, and the second game, everybody found a way to contribute. We had some pinch hitters. We had some courtesy runners. We had girls step up at the plate. We had the defensive going. And it was just a game where our bats got hot, and we took advantage of some pitches that were left over the plate for us and hit them well.
Well, your team is certainly off to a great start this year. You went 6-0 in the first week of the season while outscoring your opponents by a 70-10 margin. You know, so your girls were obviously ready to go right out of the gate, weren't they?
Yeah, you know, they put in a lot of work in the offseason. It started when we had our defeat last year, and from that time to our first game, they put in all the work. And their hard work over the offseason paid off early. I think that a lot of them worked over the COVID break that we had on their own and finding ways to stay in softball shape. And those girls came in ready to go and focused, and they have one goal in mind, and it's probably the same goal that everybody around the state has, but they found ways to work all offseason and come in ready to go for that first week.
Well, then last week your team had a grueling schedule. You played five consecutive days, including four straight road trips to open the week. Your girls managed to go 5-3 for the week, and that included a double header split against Johnston, one of the state's best teams. You did lose a couple of tough non-conference games on the road, but then you bounced back and were able to sweep both Valley and Dowling on a couple of doubleheaders. So your girls really showed a lot of resilience, didn't they?
Yeah, you know, it was probably a coaching mistake, scheduling every day. But you know what? It was a learning opportunity for us. We had some of the best talent in the state of Iowa that we were playing against. And we started out the week against Johnston. That game was supposed to be at home, so we weren't supposed to be on the road as much as we were. But because of some rain and some field conditions, we decided to change that over to Johnston and get that game in for us. And then we went to a really good winter set team, Dowling in the middle of the week, and then number one Carlisle. And, you know, every game's a learning opportunity, and finding ways to continue to grow as a team. With the no practices was a challenging. By the end of the week, they were tired but rose up to the occasion against defending state champion Valley. But all week long, we played good opponents, and the girls came finding focus and grinding out a week as the temperature even continued to get hot and find a way to get it done last week.
Well, the sweep over Valley, you know, would have to be the highlight of your season thus far. You know, the Tigers are such a perennial power and a state title contender. You know, do you think your team may have opened some eyes around the CIML with that sweep?
You know, I don't know if it was just that game or it's been the season in general as opening eyes. Valley, of course, is a great program, and it's one that we wanted to take two from. But we've continually talked to the girls about coming in with that attitude of taking two every night and finding a way to do it against a team like Valley. We were very fortunate, and the girls came ready to go. It started out game one, getting that 6-0 victory. And then in game two, it was a little more of a typical softball game in a Valley Centennial matchup. And it was a little back and forth and finding a way to come out top again as a team effort.
Well, yeah, you guys completed that sweep on a walk-off home run by Franny Burnett, your senior shortstop. Now, I know the Ankeny baseball team had a walk-off win that night as well, and the Hawks may have violated, you know, some of those social distancing guidelines because they tackled Cade Summers on the infield afterwards. You know, were girls able to avoid doing that?
So we were scolded by an umpire early in the season when hitting a home run and everybody coming out of the dugout. So we've actually had to practice, if we do hit a home run, how we're going to handle that social distance guideline parts. We did it the best we could. Emotions were running high, and I know the girls kind of let those go and forgot a little bit about social distancing for just a second before a quick reminder by coaches to get back into it. But you know what? She deserved that recognition and finding a way to step up in that situation. I was just looking for a hit, and she found a way to put the ball in the park and win the game for us. After the night before when we got beat on a walk-off home run, it was kind of a rejuvenating way to end the week.
Well, Franny is batting 382 on the season, and she leads your team with 3 home runs, so she's obviously having a great year. You know, she's certainly one of the leaders of your squad, isn't she?
Yeah, Franny's been around the Centennial program all 5 years, and just her ability to be a leader for our team is what they need. We've got a bunch of seniors that are stepping up in that leadership role and a bunch of juniors that are too. But a lot of the girls in the program look up to Franny, and a lot of the little girls in the youth program look up to her, just how she plays the game so hard. I don't know if I've ever seen her jersey dirty or not dirty after a game. And that just she's going to find a way to lay out for a ball. She's going to find a way to put the ball in play. Even on her best nights, she's finding ways to lead our team and be that vocal leader out there and having everybody rise up to their abilities. So it's really a pleasure to have her, and it'll be a big loss next year and trying to find someone to replace her.
We have some other girls who are also having outstanding seasons. I wanted to highlight some of them as well. Your catcher Ella Schultz is batting .536 with 10 doubles and 26 RBIs, and she hit her first home run of the season last night. She's among the state leaders in both doubles and RBIs. You know, she's really been locked in this year, hasn't she?
Yeah, you know, Ella's come with that laser focus, and she knew she wanted to have a big year. She had a little bit of a down year and in a couple statistical ways last year, and she's come out with a rejuvenated sense of the game and finding ways to see the ball. And I'm more fortunate of how she's grown as a leader for our program. She's had a couple different opportunities in the offseason and chosen to stick with her teammates and finding ways to help lead them and grow in that leadership role. And you can see that behind the plate. Her pitchers trust her, and she calls a good game. And then when she's up at the plate, she's just focused in and ready to hit. And that momentum helps carry the rest of the team.
Then your second baseman, Anna Christensen, is batting .395 with 16 RBIs. Your center fielder, freshman Mackenzie James, is batting .378 with 16 RBIs. So you guys have really been strong up the middle, haven't you?
Yeah, we just continue to challenge the girls to stay in their approach and do what they can with the ball and don't try to do too much with it. And those two, and Anna and Mackenzie, have really bought into that aspect. And their big hits come when we need their big hits to come, but they also find a way to put the ball in play. And then most importantly, how to help their pitcher out in the field behind them. And just again, it's a team game for us. If one of them aren't on for the night, we have another 8 of them stepping up and finding ways to get things done. And good teams and great teams are going to have those night in and night out of everybody helping each other out and finding ways to win as a group.
We have another freshman, Sydney Morris, who's batting .438 with 14 RBIs. So some of those newcomers have really done a good job of filling those holes that you guys had coming into the season, haven't they?
Yeah, you know, we had a couple question marks coming into the season of having to replace kind of the whole entire outfield from the previous year. And we've had a couple of younger girls step up, and we have girls that are pushing them on a daily basis in practices and games. And just the competition level in our program right now is very fortunate to have. It's one that's going to push the girls, whether we're in a practice situation or game situation, they know there's someone there that's going to push them to become better. And it's no pressure. It's just one where that competition is going to feed each other and continue to grow and help build our program and the tradition that we're continuing to go with this.
Well, another key to your success has been the performance of the pitching staff. I know you have confidence in all of your pitchers, but Maddie has certainly become, you know, the ace of the staff. She has compiled an 8-1 record with a 1.75 ERA and 41 strikeouts. What has made her so effective this season?
You know, Maddie's drive to continue to get better. It was started in the off season and in making sure that she was there every single time, and her just being there and continuing to work with our coaches, and her want and desire to be the best that she can in the circle. And you know, Maddie's been a great pitcher her whole career, and when given the keys to the circle, she's just taken charge and steps up when she needs to, and finds ways if we need to bring her back in game two to find a way to come back and muster out a couple more innings for us. And she's just we're very fortunate to have her. We're very fortunate to have the rest of them. Just like I said, with the position players, our pitching staff continues to challenge each other. And we have three juniors right behind her and Maggie, Jenna, and Sam that are continuing to push each other and finding ways. If one of them doesn't have it, we know someone else does. And we're very fortunate to kind of be able to have a pitching staff in softball and treat it like the typical baseball pitching staff if we need to go to some relief pitching.
Well, let's look ahead a little bit. You guys have to head over to Ankeny to face the Hawkettes in a doubleheader tomorrow. You're obviously very familiar with their squad because you were an assistant there for several years before taking the Centennial job last season. You know, so what's your impression of the Hawkettes thus far?
You know, it's a great program. Coach Bingham over there does the thing the right way, and I obviously learned a lot from him, learned a lot from the girls that are still there, and we're just fortunate this season to get the opportunity to play each other. And ultimately, it's just another game, but we all know it's not another game with that crosstown rivalry. So the intensity will be high, and the game will be fun, and it's always going to be competitive. And there's mutual respect on both sides for each other. A lot of these girls growing up played together all the way until they split off into their individual high school programs. And it's just one where we're excited to play. It's also one where I'm excited when the night's over. It just that added intensity to it. It'll be good, though. It challenges us and gets us both ready for that postseason run that we'll both make.
Of course, Ankeny boasts one of the state's best players in Jasmine Rumley. I was at their game against Waukee on Friday when the Warriors elected to walk Jasmine with a runner on second in the seventh inning, which put the potential winning run on base, and that's something you don't see very often. But that just shows the respect that people have for her, right?
You know, yes, Jasmine's one of the best players in the state. She's one of the best athletes in the state, and she's one that we'll respect. And you know what? She is. She deserves everything that she's earned. She works day in and day out, seeing that firsthand when I was over there as a coach. And in the respect's there for me, too. I remember last year at Ankeny when we did the same thing. We had to walk her just because of her ability to end games and then put pressure on us. And she's just a big-time player, and she's someone that it's just fun to watch, even as an opposing coach. You wish you don't have to play her, but you know what? You're glad that you do, because she's going to make your team better, and we're going to try to push her and challenge her too, and not back down from her, even though she is a good player. But we also respect her, and I'm just excited to watch her grow as a swimmer in the next few years, and hopefully gets to hold a championship banner up at Tennessee and then maybe even an American flag in the Olympics someday.
Oh, sure. Well, Maria Carter is another Ankeny hitter that you have to have a lot of respect for. She's batting 51 this season after battling some injuries the last couple of years. You know, she's really come into her own, hasn't she?
Yeah, you know, I haven't seen them play, though I've just been looking at stats just like everybody else. But, you know, I guess with the little insider information that I have from coaching over there, Coach Bingham's just got a good squad, and Marina's a good player. He's got a bunch of other good players, and it's just one where Marina's seen the ball well right now, I'm guessing, and is finding a way to put the ball in play and knowing that she is a good player and a hard competitor and someone, again, that's going to challenge us to be better, and we're going to rise up and compete with them and go out and play every pitch. And we'll give them the respect, too, but you know what? It'll be a good game.
Well, you guys are about halfway through your season right now. After this doubleheader, you'll go to Southeast Polk for another twin bill on Thursday. And then you'll have doubleheaders against Waukee, Johnston, and Ames next week before hosting Dowling in your regular season finale on July 13th. You know, so this season's going fast, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's been a very interesting season, getting a few weeks in June to practice and then basically 4 weeks of games and then some postseason play. And so, yeah, we look up and we blink and the season's half over after this week, or even almost a little half over already. And we just do the best we can. We talk with our girls how no day is granted to us, and so we've got to take advantage of every opportunity that we're given, one pitch at a time, one play at a time, one run at a time. And just be fortunate that we're here. We're very thankful that we get the opportunity to play and continue to play the game like it should be and play the game hard and respect the game and respect what's going on worldwide and just take advantage of those opportunities. So we're very fortunate we get this chance this season.
Well, I'm guessing the postseason pairings will be released soon. You know, I'm sure you're anxious to find out what your path to state will look like, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. It's always an interesting first part of the season until those pairings come out. And, you know, it's out of our hands. The only thing we can do is go out and play the game and do the best that we can. And when those pairings come out, prepare the best we can and have the girls ready for that postseason run. And I know our girls have a goal on their mind, but they've also got to go out and continue to work and continue to get better and build each other. And hopefully good things happen when that postseason comes.
Well, of course, Centennial is looking to qualify for state for the first time. You know, do you feel like this team has the potential to get over that hump?
Oh, definitely. I know that that's a goal that they've had and will continue to have year in and year out. But this team wants to be that first group that makes it up to Fort Dodge, and they definitely have the potential to do it. They've just got to come focused day in and day out to the field and be ready to go and always continue to get better and always trust in each other and stick together as a team and respect our opponent but not fear anybody and go out and attack every pitch that it's our last opportunity to play. And I think good things will be ahead for them. We'll have them ready to go as coaches and finding a way to make that postseason run. But you know what? It's probably going to be a local draw that we get hearing from the girls' union. And, you know, it's the best competition in the state of Iowa is right here in central Iowa. So it's going to be a grind to get there. And we'll be fortunate to take that opportunity and see where it leads us.
All right, Brett. Well, thanks a lot for coming in today. Appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow night.
All right. Thank you so much.
You bet. All right. Listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade, or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office. Call 515-964-5952 or visit gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, my next guest is the head coach of the number 15 Ankeny softball team. He has guided the Hawkeyes to a 9-7 record thus far. He is Dave Bingham. Dave, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Yeah, pretty good, Dan. It's nice to be up here at MJ Properties, and I just wanted to take time to say thank you guys, because this old school Ankeny Fanatic and what you do for kids in our community and your sponsors, where you're talking about Jason and Ron and some of those guys, we have a very unique thing here in Ankeny that few kids get to experience anymore. And I just want to thank Luch and the crew and everything for sticking with this, and you for what you've done as far as transitioning yourself to your old role, but you still do everything you always used to do, and now you're doing some of this technology stuff. And I think it does a lot for our community, and it's very meaningful for our kids, so I appreciate that a lot.
Well, thanks. Yeah, it's been fun. We've enjoyed doing it, and hopefully we'll keep doing it for a while.
So. Yeah.
Well, you guys lost a couple of tough ones last night to Johnston. You dropped a 7-5 decision in 8 innings in the opener. And then you lost the nightcap 9-5 after you had a 5-2 lead. You know, you certainly had a chance to win both of those games, didn't you?
We have. The first game against Waukee on Friday was just one we had a chance to win in a walk-off. And we did that in a really tough game against a really good team in Fort Dodge. And we just haven't been able to come through with that big hit. When we're teaching these kids, I think there's three very specific things that you're working on. That's, you know, body, mind, and soul. And I think our body is in tune. We know what to do. Today we're, you know, we just got here back from practice, and, you know, we go back to those fundamentals. And I think their heart and their soul is really strong. The kids that play, I think, for all of our teams in our community, I think their purpose and their heart is really strong. So it comes back to me and my great coaching staff teaching that mental part of the game, you know, and that will to win and that desire to win and expecting to win is something that you really have to coach. And so we've got to do a better job. And we've got great people with, you know, I've got three former head coaches on my staff, and Sarah Saladino's doing a great job, Diana Rep. We've got help with Ashley Lee as our pitching coach that helps us in the varsity games. And then my two ninth grade coaches are special people and have head coaching experience. So we've really got to do a better job of visualizing that confidence, raising that confidence, and those kind of things will take care of themselves. We don't want to get caught up in just trying to play great at the end, Dan. They've got to find a way to win some of these tight games now So we're not that far off. And if you watch us, our kids are intense. They're competitive. They're not pouting, and I'm proud of them. And I think they're really special. And, you know, all the way down through our program, all the way 55 kids, all the way down through eighth grade. I just really think we're in a good place.
Well, your team got off to a great start this season, going 7-1 in the first week. Your only loss in that stretch, you know, in those first eight games came during a doubleheader split at Ottumwa, which is ranked fifth at the time. You know, but your schedule's gotten a lot tougher since then, and that's been a result for some of those losses, don't you think?
Yeah, I do, but I mean, I think Ottumwa, Helan, you know, Central Spring, I think some of those teams that we played in that first week were as competitive on the mound as what we've been seeing. So our ability just consistently, I mean, we're probably at this day and age, Dan, you know, it used to be, when I first got into it, and I got to go back, you know, Gary Telford was our athletic director, and the first year I was in it with Amy, and, you know, you just want to make Amy proud. You want to make Dick and Sue Rasmussen proud. That's why you do it. But, you know, the first year we lost in the first game I ever played in a regional, and I was just like, I was just devastated. And, you know, Gary came up to me and said some really meaningful things, and he was like, you guys coached him. You had him prepared. It wasn't your day. Congratulations on working so hard this season. I was like, what is my athletic? Why wasn't he like, you know? And I learned something then that, you know, you've got to prep them. But honestly, the competition that we're playing has been pretty equal. Obviously, Marshalltown was a little down. We played just lights out. We played seven innings, played 23 kids, stole like 20 bases. But you've got to find a way to make sure that you're taking care of all those things that matter more than softball. And I think that's our job, and that's the most important thing. I think the kids feel that. But they feel the pressure of trying to win games. They feel the pressure. And, you know, if you study Tim Galway or all these people, you know, you over-tighten. You know, everybody says, oh, they get tight, you know. So you got to play loose with a clear, confident mind. And I think when you've got competitors like we have, we'll work our way through that. And it does come down to our pitchers being really sharp and crisp and being on. And I think some of those things, Dan, we were really on the mound. And even, like, we could have beat anybody those times where we were on. And that first game with Ottumwa, you know, the way our pitcher pitched, we weren't going to be beat that night. So when those things happen, it makes it a lot easier.
Well, even though your team is just 2-6 in the last eight games, you know, you have had a couple of impressive wins in that stretch. You had an 11-0 victory at Southeast Polk in the second game of that doubleheader last Tuesday. And then you traveled to Valley the next night, and you outslugged the Tigers 13-11 in the second game of that doubleheader. You know, so you guys have definitely shown an ability to hit the ball all over the park.
Yeah, I mean, we've got some really unique dynamics right now because we can go with a total speed lineup, and then we can go with a total power lineup. And in order to get all those kids confident and get them equal at bats so that you know what you're going to do, it takes some time. And so sometimes the hardest thing is as a baseball player, softball player, you might know this too, and all the players that have played, when you are unsure whether or not you're going to be able to keep your starting job and you're competing for it, it's very difficult. We have a lot of kids in our lineup that are like that. I mean, you obviously know Jasmine Rumley's going to play. You know, Marina Carter, I mean, she could get a hit in a phone booth right now. Mm-hmm. And you know those kids are going to play. But the rest of them are battling for position. That is hard. I know it's hard. I've been in that spot. And so what we're trying to get them all to realize is those people that are competing is that they're all starting. And so if we need to go fast, we go fast. If we need to slug, we can slug. And it was interesting at the end of our era before the split, you know, it was pretty easy to just kick back and hit 55 home runs and still steal bases when you need to. And that's a lot easier to coach. And we're at the point now in those games that you were talking about, we're hitting the ball out of the ballpark. And that is just a game changer when you hit the ball out of the ballpark. And we've got one of the greatest all time on our team right now that's able to do that. And we got some kids that are finally coming along with some power. So would I rather slug it out? Yes. I mean, it's a lot easier, I think. All, you know, Mark Heis, he's the genius. He'll be in here in a little bit. You know, he'd tell you a lot easier. And I think Heis the oldest of us four. I mean, we're all pretty close. But I think Heis the oldest, because I think I went to his 50th about 10 years ago, but I don't know that for sure. But we have to be able to, you know, do short game, and it catches up with us sometimes where we really put pressure on teams. But you've got to be great at short game at the end of the year, when it gets to the regionals and you get to the big pitching. And so we won't always be able to just slug it against the big pitcher. So we really have a unique dynamic to do both.
Well, you mentioned Jasmine. She had a home run in that win over Valley, and then she had another one last night for her fifth of the year. You know, and I know she's not even 100% right now, but she's still an amazing player, isn't she?
She is. You know, I just got off the phone with her. I try to talk to my seniors as much as I can about different things, and it's just a mature, grown-up situation. And I think I've mentioned this to you. When you study athletes, and I've been lucky enough to do the interviews with Sean Johnson or Lolo Jones or Harrison Barnes or Jeff Horner, Shayla Starkenberger, or all these people, we always be like, well, they're talented, or they're lucky, they're gifted. Well, they've worked. They work. Maybe Yaz isn't hitting in a cage 24/7, but the work that she does in the pool, she has a job. Most of our kids are multi-sport athletes, and most of them are carrying a job at this point. And with everything that we walked into this season not knowing if we were going to have it, I think that's what makes them special. What makes her special is a couple things aren't going well. Let's work on it. Let's put some work in. She puts the work on it. Boom. She can click into it fairly quick in softball. But the amount of power she generates, when you look at her, she's not a big kid. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not talking about a big kid. And the amount of power she can generate, it's fun to see when she squares one up.
Oh, yeah. Always been fun to watch. Well, I'm not sure there's a better left side of the infield in the state than what you have with Jasmine at third and Marina Carter at shortstop. Marina's having a breakout season with a .651 average, 8 doubles and 15 RBIs. She also hit her first home run of the season last night. You know, she's just been a hit machine, hasn't she?
Is she fun to watch? And so we, you know, in high and Ball Vance and Brett, we can all talk about hitting and talk about how to teach it. And I was even talking to Marina's folks last night because we were working on her recruiting a little bit. And sometimes it just doesn't look like, what are you doing there and all that. But she just has a tremendous feel for the game, and you don't want to upset that. She's really been a kid, Dan. She's had two big surgeries on both shoulders. She hasn't had a lot of time in the dirt the last 2 years, so she's starting to get back to where she was as an eighth grader freshman, where she could just really field. So, offensively and defensively combined, yeah, they're as good. Brett's left side's pretty darn good with Franny and Runchy. So, I mean, they're as good as it gets, too, and that's a testament to our community raising really good kids. And we have a lot of other kids right now who can play that left side, and we're looking forward to the future whenever that comes. But, yeah, I mean, they're special kids as far as their talent.
We have an eighth-grade catcher, Cassie Johnson, who played a key role in the team's fast start. She was batting .379 with two homers and 14 RBIs through the first 10 games. Now, do you expect to have her back in the lineup soon?
She played in the second game last night, and she'll probably play against Centennial. And, yeah, due to COVID, there's a lot of things that were already set in stone. So you can never know when kids can be and can't be here, when plans were made. But Cassie is one of those few kids that has a lot of natural intangibles. They're just things you can't teach. She'll be an all-timer for us by the time it's over. And as an eighth grader, I don't think that you could expect any more than what we're getting out of her. Michaela Doyle's just been lights out for us. With when she's been there, she's doing her job and continue to improve. But Cass will come along, and we're proud of her. And I think the thing that's most important is she's making relationships with people like Jasmine Rumley and Kaylee Becker, and that's a really cool thing. So look forward to big things out of her.
Well, about the same time that Johnson went to the bench, you promoted Haley Waymira from the junior varsity squad, and she immediately made an impact. She hit a couple of homers in that win over Valley. She just kind of came out of nowhere, didn't she?
Well, this is the number one thing that coaches have to do, and this is why that competition is so tough, Dan, is we're evaluating them every day, every swing. You know, I had kids stay after today and worked harder. I had kids that stayed after and put some time in Saturday and Sunday. You don't ignore that. And when kids are getting results, whether it's ninth grade, so if I know then a ninth grade kid's hit three or four home runs or is doing some things well, you know, and they're still part of the JV, then we see what did they do in JV. I walked up to Southeast Polk JV game, she'd hit two bombs. And Haley Waymer is tremendously talented, but she's doing it. So guess what? You're in the varsity lineup. Boom, 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 hitting the ball. You know, we're not going to wait around and be like, well, she had a good JV game, we'll see. No, she produced, you play. And so some of our kids that are fighting for playing time, they got to go back to JV if they want to earn some spots. It's too short of a season. You go down there, you yield results, you give yourself a chance. Our kids know that you have to earn that playing time. I mean, And that's special, and that's, I think, a good message for them moving forward in life. If things aren't going well, go find a way, go work, and prove to somebody that you're valuable.
Well, I know you told me last night that your pitchers were a little off against Johnston, but you have had some good performances this season from all of your pitchers. Kendra Winfrey appeared to be kind of taking over that number one spot. She's currently 4-2 with a 3.03 ERA. But Ashton Billings and Caleb Brummer have also had some good outings. You know, you still have confidence, all three of them, don't you?
Oh, I do. And I think that, you know, Caleb Brummer, I mean, she's the kind of kid, if we just needed to start her in a regional final and get it done, you know, we believe in. I think we believe in all three of them equally. They're very unselfish. They're very easy to coach. Pitchers are all unique. And, you know, I look back on all the kids that we've had, and they're all, I mean, I just am so proud of what, like, Shayla and Allison, you know, to leave our program and represent what the, you know, the Hawkett family is all about at that next level, to do what they've done at Iowa, and some of the other kids just continue to put in the work. Those kids worked so hard while they were here. And I think they're a great role model for the kids that are pitching at Ankeny and Ankeny Centennial. So, yeah, we believe in them. We trust them. And I think some of them have just been a little more on, you know, at certain times. And there's a couple times where Ashton was really dominant. And so she can really turn it on. And Kayla just, boy, there's, you know, she was just, she had some couple of really good outings. But Kendra definitely throws the hardest, and she's the lefty, and she's got some spin, and we expect big things from her going forward. But as a staff, we look at them as one for sure.
Well, let's look ahead a little bit. You guys will host a doubleheader against Ankeny Centennial tomorrow. The Jaguars are off to a great start this season at 13-3. You know, what's been your impression of Centennial thus far?
They're exactly the, you know, our expectations are where I thought they would be. Obviously, Brett Delaney is one of my closest friends in the world, their family. Obviously, his, you know, Ashley and the three girls were really close. So we wish them nothing but success. When we play them, we want to beat them. There's no question about that. But Brett will take them to the state tournament eventually, if not this year. And I think that that's a really awesome thing for that school. When I look at what they're doing, I think they're doing good things on the mound. I think they're really taking care of the routine stuff. And a lot of the stuff that Brett and I have worked on together, I'm seeing it. And he obviously takes stuff to a new level with his own. But they'll be well coached. They you know, I think our games will be really tight. If something, you know, gets sideways, emotion can play a role in that. And one of the teams could let down and have a bad game. But every time we play them, it's really exciting. And I expect big things out of them. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I think playing him in a state championship game would be a really special thing. I hope it's a possibility someday. I think if both kids and both programs continue to grind it out, you know, it's a possibility in the future. And I love playing in those games. I love being a part of it. You know, you feel honored. You just want to make everybody proud.
Oh, sure. Well, Maddie Huseman has already racked up 8 wins for the Jaguars in the pitcher's circle. You know, I'm sure you'll see her in at least one of the 2 games tomorrow. What do you think is going to be the key going up against her?
She's consistent. She stays around the plate, so she doesn't waste pitches. You know, she does a really nice job. And obviously, they just have a great catcher. They have multiple great catchers, but they do things really well. Our thing is to make sure that we just bunt every pitch. So we're not going to try to hit homers. We're just going to bunt, and we'll just keep bunting. And so we'll have to make Runchy and Franny, and we'll just have to make them, like, field our bunt. So we're not even going to swing it. We're just going to bunt and put the ball in play and try not to strike out against her.
Well, you might surprise them with that strategy. So.
Yeah.
Well, then when you look at their lineup, you know, you just don't see a lot of easy outs. I mean, some of those girls like Franny and Ella Schultz, they're just really having great seasons, aren't they?
Yeah, Ella's a good ball player. She's got a lot of pop to the left side. Morris is a good player. I mean, they're just good throughout the lineup. And a lot of them have been through reps together. And what I think is really impressive is just, you know, they're our AGSA program, taking our high school programs to the fall and spring. You know, those girls have really put in a lot of time together, and you can see that they're comfortable with each other, and so are we. And I think that yields big results. And there's going to be a lot of emotion when we play each other. I think the girls like, you know, that fight and to play in against each other. So they know what they're doing. We know what they're doing. They know what we're doing. And the girls that execute and keep a cool head and play with a lot of grit will be successful.
Well, you guys are about halfway through your season now. After the Centennial doubleheader, you'll go to Urbandale for another Twinville on Thursday. Then you'll have doubleheaders against Dowling, Southeast Polk, and North next week before hosting Valley in your regular season finale on July 13th. So it seems like, you know, you've gotten through the hardest part of your schedule maybe. I'm sure you'd like to build some momentum in these next 2 weeks before the start of postseason play. You know, that'd be the objective, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's. I think that when we look at this team, you know, we're a team. It's not crazy to think that we could win out, you know. I mean, it's that close. And we're a team that could, you know, go 500 the rest of the way too. So I think it's critical to just make sure that we are filling their mind, body, and soul with positive energy. And in July, we're usually tough. You know, we had some ups and downs and some hiccups last year, but we were as tough as we'd ever been late in the year. And, I mean, I was really hurt. And, you know, if you got to see Paige Jacobson after that Fort Dodge game, you would really see what it means to be a Hawkett. I mean, and I think this team's carrying that same feeling. And I think the more that they focus – the more that they love each other, we're going to have a great finish. But yeah, I'm looking, you know, we've had 21 season for the last, I think, 10 years or something like that. And it's going to be hard to get 20 this year with the short season, but you know, that's a goal, you know, that you would like to get in a 29 game season or 30 game season. And if we get that many in, and you'll have weather and you'll have makeups and you'll have rainouts, and you got the 4th of July coming up, and we still have the health stuff, which the safety and health is the most important thing. It's our number one job as a coach, I think.
Sure. Well, I know you told me the other day that you weren't too concerned about, you know, when the regional pairings were going to be, you know, released, but they are going to have to be soon.
Yeah.
And just based on your guys' record and where you're ranked right now, I mean, you're obviously going to get probably one of the top teams from around here in your same bracket, aren't you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I honestly, when they come out, we don't get too worked up about who's in our region. We scout those teams as well as anybody. But, yeah, we'll get Valley, Waukee, Johnston. I mean, Southeast Polk. I mean, we're going to get somebody. I mean, we could get Fort Dodge again. That'd be great. I mean, we really can't read too much into that, because when you're looking at the overall grand scheme of things and you're honestly evaluating, you know, just talking to Coach Miracle last night, it's just like, whoa. And he was, you know, honestly, you know, pretty honest, like, you just don't know. It's like you can't get too worked up about who you're going to get. So I think that a lot of coaches sometimes we're like, oh, we shouldn't have got this or this. And, you know, you just show up and play, and you got to beat somebody to win it, you know. So I sometimes would rather, if you're going to win a state championship, sometimes you almost be better off playing the best team in the state in your regional. And you think that's crazy, but you get a really good team and they get some momentum and you got to play them in a semi. Well, it would be nice to have knocked them out before you got to a semi if you want to win it.
Sure.
And that's a crazy mentality, but sometimes I think that's what you got to do. And you see crazy things in regional play all the time. So that's my thought on it, and I think the girls are willing to play anybody, anytime, anywhere. So,
well, we'll be here before we know it.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. Well, Dave, thanks a lot for coming in today. Appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow.
You bet.
All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. The Iowa Finance Authority 2019 Mortgage Credit Certificate Program can save Iowa homebuyers up to $2,000 on their federal taxes for the life of the loan for first-time home buyers. This program awards a tax credit valued at 50% of the annual mortgage interest paid and is available annually as long as the home remains the buyer's primary residence. Dave Lewis of Home Services Lending and the Iowa Realty Ankeny office is a participating lender. You can call Dave at 515-321-5913 if you have any questions. He also has a variety of products and can handle all of your loan needs. All right, let's move on to some baseball conversation. My next guest is the only head coach that Centennial has ever had, and he has guided the 10th-ranked Jaguars to a 9-5 record this season. He is Mark High. Mark, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me here.
Hey, you bet. We'll start with last night's games. You guys were able to get a split against number 3 Urbandale, the defending Class 4A state champion. After dropping the opener 13-3 in five innings, your team bounced back with a 5-1 victory in the nightcap as Logan Neals tossed a 5-hitter and had 5 strikeouts. You know, he just pitched a heck of a game, didn't he?
Yeah, Logan really understands himself as a pitcher. He had all his pitches working, was in the zone, throwing strikes, and just pitched an outstanding game.
Well, your team also had some timely hits in that game. Tate Williams went 2-for-3 and drove in a pair of runs, while Trey Morris hit a home run, your team's first home run of the season. And Trey now leads the team with a .395 average. You have 3 other regulars hitting above .300, Keaton Gray, Jackson Powell, and Gabriel Montesmith. You know, has this team developed offensively the way you would have liked?
Yeah, they, you know, as the year's gone on, they've really started to get their approach that they want to have at the plate. I know it was kind of a weird off season and not seeing a lot of live pitching maybe set them back a little bit, but I'm really happy with how they're progressing and how their approach is developing.
Well, it's a really big win for you guys in that second game because you could see Urbandale again in the postseason. You found out that you're both in the same sub-state bracket. So there's a good chance you will see them again in there.
Yeah, you know, as soon as those sub-states come out, you kind of start to think about pitching matchups and who you want them to see and who you don't want them to see. And so we're real happy with the way that we played last night.
Well, of course, now both you and Urbandale are 9-5 on the season, and you both have four more games remaining this week, and that's pretty much going to determine the number one seed, don't you think?
Yeah, you know, the way the seeding works now, the coaches all get in a room and we decide, 1 through 6. So it will come down to Sunday when we make those decisions. But having a better record and having split a doubleheader would certainly be to an advantage.
Well, your team will play No. 5 Ankeny in a doubleheader on Wednesday at Principal Park, and then you'll travel to No. 4 Southeast Polk for another twin bill on Thursday. You know, but Urbandale's schedule isn't any easier. The Jayhawks will host No. 1 Dowling on Wednesday before hosting Ankeny on Thursday. So whoever gets that No. 1 seed, boy, they're going to have to earn it, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no easy games on our schedule left, that's for sure.
Well, let's talk about Wednesday's matchup a little bit. Ankeny enters the doubleheader with an identical 9-5 record, and the Hawks are coming in off a doubleheader split against No. 2 Johnston. Of course, Ankeny qualified for state last year and returns most of the starters from that team. You know, what impresses you the most about the Hawks?
They're just a tremendously athletic team. Just great players up and down the lineup. You can't take a hitter off. You know, just great kids, hardworking kids. And then you go to the defensive side of it, and they're deep with pitchers, good arms. Just a team that. You have to struggle every inning for an entire doubleheader to compete with them.
Well, I don't know what Ankeny's pitching plans are, but the Hawks didn't use Brody Breck last night, and Weston Folk hasn't thrown since Friday, so I'm guessing you might be seeing, you know, their top two guys tomorrow. Is that kind of what you expect?
Yeah, that's when we saw they didn't pitch last night, we figured we'd see them both Wednesday.
Well, Brody is a guy that has deservedly received a lot of attention for what he can do on the mound as well as, you know, at the plate and in the outfield. Now, you've been coaching for a long time, and you've seen a lot of talented guys come and go, but I don't imagine you've seen too many guys, though, that, you know, have Brody's combination of skills out there, have you?
No, he's an outstanding player and a great person, too. And, you know, when you see kids like that, you want them to have all the success in the world. So, you know, I have all the respect in the world for that young man.
Well, your team really has a deep pitching staff this year, so I'm sure you have a lot of different options for tomorrow. I don't want you to tip your hand if you don't want to, but if you decide who you're going to be throwing tomorrow?
We have.
Yeah, all right. Yep. I guess we'll find out tomorrow. So, well, your schedule won't get any easier the rest of the way. Your team will play doubleheaders against Waukee, Johnston, and Ames next week before hosting Dowling in your regular season finale on July 13th. You know, so these next 2 weeks are really going to be a grind, aren't they?
You know, they are. You know, last night against Urbandale, we faced the Langerberger kids, and, you know, they throw upper 80s, low 90s, and you know, we told our kids we want to see that. You don't get to the state tournament by facing kids that are 4 and 5 and 6 in the rotation. You get to the state tournament seeing 1s and 2s. So I think that where we play in the state and the caliber of pitching that we see in the state, the caliber of teams that we play, just helps prepare you for a postseason run.
Well, the season is going by so fast, and with so many games in such a short amount of time, you know, there really isn't a lot of time to make adjustments. You know, however, you know, what are you hoping to see from your team the next couple of weeks? Where do you feel like you guys need to make some improvements?
Well, there's a couple positions we're kind of looking at as we try to think about, you know, if we have certain guys on the mound, you know, what our defensive lineup's going to be like, trying to get the best hitters on the field and the positions that that they can play. So we want to shore that up. We want to, and I think we've made some good strides in what we call, two strike hitting or, you know, when we get down in the count, being able to battle and put the ball in play. I think our guys have done a nice job improving in that. We want to keep making strides there. And then just shoring up defensively, you know, making, throwing to the right base, those little things that, you usually have a few weeks at the beginning of the season to practice and kind of get some of those kinks out, and we've been working through that as we go.
Well, of course, Centennial is trying to make it a state for the first time in school history. You guys have been close a couple of times, including last year when you lost to Southeast Polk in the sub-state final. You know, do you feel like this team has the potential to get over that hump?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we have great senior leadership. just again, high character guys. And one of the things last night that that really impressed me is after we lost the first game, they kind of wanted to take care of it. They didn't want the coaches to come out and say, "Hey, let's go." They said, "We're just going to take care of it ourselves." And you know, that's a huge step and a huge growth, I think, in young men. And you know, we're glad to see that. And I think that'll carry him far.
All right, Mark. Well, thanks for coming in today. It should be a fun doubleheader tomorrow night. I'll probably see you down there.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
You bet. All right. You're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Gerstmann Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Whether looking for your first home or refinancing your existing loan, Gerstmann Mortgage has an expert to assist you. They'll help you find the right mortgage to meet your personal needs. When you are buying your starter house, moving to a larger home, aging in place, or looking to refinance, Gerstmann Mortgage will be there every step of the way. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gerstmann.com to get pre-approved today. Well, my final guest today is the head coach of the Ankeny baseball team. He has guided the number 5 Hawks to a 9-5 record thus far. He is Joe Ballvans. Joe, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Thanks for having me, Dan.
Hey, you bet. We'll start with last night's games. Your team was able to get a split against number 2 Johnston. You won the opener in 8 innings, 5-4, before dropping a 5-0 decision in the nightcap. Jace Bauer hit a single in the bottom of the 8th inning to win the first game, and that was your second walk-off win in 4 days. You know, that's always a fun way to win, isn't it?
It is fun. That was a really well-played baseball game by both teams. It was good pitching, good defense. Our guys just hung in there. Their kid, that Crandall kid, throws the ball really well, multiple pitches in the zone for strikes, and we just kept battling. Never gave up. Very similar to the Waukee walk-off. Had a sophomore Dylan Schley in there come in and on the mound and provide some much needed relief there after Sammy held us as long as he could.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Dylan swings the bat pretty well in BP, so it's one of those deals where I just kind of stuck him in the 9 hole in case that spot came up, and he got a nice single. Carter Smith did a great job bunting him over, and we've talked earlier, Jace has played at a really high level right now, and it's a good spot for him to come up.
Well, was the first time that I've seen Sam Landrews pitch, you know, that extensively. He went 5 innings and did a nice job, I thought. Boy, he's got a bright future, doesn't he?
I have to remind myself that Sam's just a sophomore at times, and he's going to continue to develop. The guys that do the scouting and stuff like that, they like the way he spins the ball, natural high spin rate type of stuff. That's the, you know, the metrics and stuff they look at these days in baseball. And he does. He spins the ball very well. His off-speed stuff is very sharp breaking, and that sets up his fastball. And as he continues to grow and mature in that fastball, he gains a few more mile per hour on that fastball. I think he's going to be a handful on the mound there as he goes into that junior, senior year. He's very bright future, I think.
Well, you mentioned, you know, Dylan came in and pitched the final 3 innings. You know, he did give up a run on the top of the 7th, but you guys got that run back right away when Cale Boyd led off the bottom of the inning with a solo homer to left. Boy, he really jumped on that pitch, didn't he?
Yes, and it was great to see. Cale's not off to the start I think he expected him, but the swing's there, the mentality's there. He's been hitting some balls hard right at people. I know that was good for him to get that, and you know, he practiced today with his hair on fire, was just blowing the ball all over the yard. He's a really good player, and was big time swing in a moment where we needed it, and that's what good players do.
When you mentioned Jace Bauer's game-winning hit, that also came on a two-strike pitch. He now leads the team with a .386 average and 13 RBIs. You know, he's just been steady all year, hasn't he?
For sure, both in the field and at the plate. I went to him early. I said, "Hey, I think you're going to need to hit 2-hole." Last year we had him in the 4 and the 5 down in there. I think because the way he runs, he has really, from his sophomore to his junior year, his ability to run in the 2-hole. So, you know, Carter, Jace, Brody, and then you get Cale a couple hitters later, or Cale goes after Brody. Those are our guys that can really run the bases. And if we can get them on consistently, it gives us a chance to put a lot of pressure on our opponent.
We guys had a chance to get a sweep last night, but then in the second game, you ran into a buzzsaw. Johnston pitcher Jacob Drager tossed a 3-hitter and had 13 strikeouts in the nightcap. You know, I didn't stick around to see that game, but he must have been filthy.
He's tough. He's strike 1, strike 2, really late breaking slider. From what I gather, when you have a kid with that kind of stuff and you're getting, you know, a fist on the inside and a fist on the outside of the plate, the plate's a little wider than it maybe should be. it's hard to hit when he's sitting 86 to 89 and throwing that hammer whenever he wants to. We've got to make sure we continue to focus and battle and not give away at-bats and let one strikeout turn into three strikeouts, because we might not like something that happened, whether it be a bad call or we swung at a bad pitch or something like that. So it's more of a mental thing there with approach. We had an opportunity to get to him early. Carter Smith, I thought, beat out a ball down the line, and umpire didn't think so and called him out. And we had an opportunity to probably put some things in motion the first inning. And then after that, he just settled in, and he continued to get stronger as that game went on. I was really, really impressed with him. A big outing there from a senior from Johnston when they had their backs up against the wall and probably needed a win.
We also found out yesterday that your team has been placed in Class 4A Substate 8 along with Dowling, the number one team in the state. The Maroons are currently 13-1 and appear to be headed for the number one seed in your substate. You guys still have some more work to do, but do you feel pretty good about your chances then to get the number two seed?
Well, we're going to need to play well. I think last night we played number two. Tomorrow we play number 10. I think, what, is Urbandale third or fourth?
Three, uh-huh, yep.
For Thursday, and then on Monday we're gonna play number one, followed up with Southeast Polk, who's number four. I mean, at least I have an argument for strength of schedule when we sit in that meeting.
Oh, for sure.
But that's everybody here right now. Whether if you look at Centennial schedule, you look at Urbandale schedule, this is a unique circumstance. I can't remember the CIML ever being as similar, not necessarily similar athletes and teams, but everybody's pretty tough.
Just loaded, yeah.
And anybody can beat anybody on a given night. And I'm good friends with Dave Dirks at Waukee. You don't know if you're going to sweep. You don't know if you're going to split. And heck, you might come home 0-2 if you don't play well. You don't pitch well. It could go one of three ways any single night with that list of teams that you're playing. And, I'll take example, use our doubleheader at Southeast Polk. We didn't pitch well. We were in one of those ball games because we had a late rally. But if you don't do one of the three, if you have an off night either at the plate, on the bump, or in the field, there's a good chance you're coming home 0-2. So Every night you've got to be able to play. And I am thankful. I think our guys are kind of over their initial soreness or the shock to the system from sitting at home from the pandemic and stuff. And I know they were working out. It's just there's no way to simulate that when you're at home.
Right.
But, yeah, I do. I think really good chances. There's still a chance. If Dowling were to lose the rest of their games this week and we were to sweep, we'd have the same record. I think – I don't know if I did the math right. I teach PE, Dan, so have to
– I think you're right.
Have to check that one. So then that might be an interesting argument. Right now we're taking it one day at a time, and we're gonna try to get to as many wins as we can before that meeting on Sunday evening. And then I do feel pretty good about that two seed. You can never know. It's all voted on coaches. So you don't know how the coaches on the west side of the state are going to vote, if they're going to stick together, or hopefully everybody can kind of look at this and that. And I've played here, and I certainly don't get to go to Shenandoah or Red Oak or Denison anytime soon.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, there are currently seven CIML teams in the top 10, and I know you told me last night that there's no way for the state to split all those teams up for the postseason. I thought the most interesting thing that they did, though, was to put Southeast Polk in Substate 6 along with five teams from Eastern Iowa. I guess they had to do something there to send them somewhere. But, overall, what did you think of the brackets in 4A? I mean, did you think that they were okay?
Yeah, I think they're okay. Going east out there, don't forget there's a kid at Iowa City West named Marcus Morgan that's pretty tough on the hill.
Oh, yeah.
And that would be tough. I mean, if you look at a team with Waukee right now, I think Waukee's 7-7 right now, but you'd have to go through Jackson Wentworth and Payne and to get through that one, and they're tough, and they're scrappy, and they're well-coached. Us and Dowling, I know if Baumler isn't with them, so I know that's their top arm. They still have some really good arms in there, in the Moist and the Gerke kid. I'm probably forgetting somebody else. And then, I think Johnston got a nice draw. I'm not afraid to say that one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really hard in the condensed schedule. I think when ratings came out, I can't remember if we were 6-4 or 6-3 or whatever. They had to make a decision in a very small time frame, and I think they did the best they could with the information they had. And that's okay. You know, if we're going to play them to get to state or play them at state, we'll see how it goes. We still got to win some ball games to get there.
Oh, for sure. Well, your team will play number 10 Centennial in a doubleheader on Wednesday at Principal Park. The Jag-Hawk matchup is always a good one, but last year Centennial managed to sweep all four of the meetings against your team. You know, I'm guessing your guys haven't forgotten that, have they?
No, certainly not. It's not something we like actively talk about, but I think as a head coach, you're kind of kidding yourself if you think that the kids don't treat it a little differently, and you've still got to work on maintaining their mental focus, but it means a lot to them.
Sure. They
don't want to hear it all year, and they want to go out and prove that, you know, our four losses last year to them, they were a good team. They're a senior-led team, had a lot of talent, and we had a bunch of young kids out there. So hopefully we're taking a step in the right direction where, you know, we can get two or get one, or, you know, right now we're one game at a time, just trying to get one and turn the page on to the next. And I think with that, we talked about that daunting schedule a little bit. If you were to look at big picture, it can get a little overwhelming, and that's certainly not the mindset that I want our guys to play and to play with. And so, you know, we're one pitch, one inning, one out at a time right now, just trying to play good ball.
Well, I know last night you didn't use a couple of your top pitchers. Have you decided who you're going to throw tomorrow night?
Brody will throw one of them. He's been we just wanted to make sure he just wanted a little more rest after a Southeast Polk start. Had some really nice numbers on the radar gun and stuff, but with a kid who's that talented on the mound, it's certainly not my place to rush him and push him. And when he feels right, we're going to go with him. And he told me he feels right today. So I think that's a start. I haven't decided on the other one yet, but and I also think it's a good experience. Him, if we were to make it back down to Principal Park, you know, he'd be our first guy out of the chute. So I think it'd be a good experience to get him back on that mound for maybe something that we're planning on working towards a little bit down the line here.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, your team has to turn around and play a doubleheader at number 3 Urbandale on Thursday, so you obviously can't burn, you know, all of your arms tomorrow. You know, you're going to have to save a few for Thursday, aren't you?
No, that's just it. So we got a JV game going on right now, so there's quite a few guys on pitch counts and stuff like that. But you know, that's normally what we do is Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. I think people forgot that as we went to this new condensed schedule. And you have to have more arms. There's going to be some guys that probably pitch on Thursday that haven't thrown a whole lot of varsity innings all year. We should have plenty of arms available, but they're going to have to step up and pitch against a pretty tough hitting team in Urbandale. I think they hit like almost 350 as a team right now, and a lot of left-handed bats in the lineup. So it's a different lineup from what we've used to seeing.
Well, your team will play doubleheaders against Dowling, Southeast Polk, and North next week before closing out the regular season on July 13th with another twin bill against Valley. So you've got about a dozen games to go before the start of the postseason. You know, what improvements are you hoping to see from your team in these next 2 weeks?
I think we've done a really good job of playing defense, and we're getting better at pounding the strike zone. But that's, you know, depth in pitching, being able to get guys to come out and locate and hit their spots, and especially at our ballpark, and Centennial has the same thing. You know, you get kids to hit the ball in the air, and with the outfielders we have out there, you know, most of those are going to come down there, and they're pretty easy out. So as long as we can avoid the self-inflicted damage, like we saw early last week, you know, we were walking 13 kids in a doubleheader, and I told the guys, I go, hey, imagine I told you that the team we're going to play tonight is going to give you 13 free base runners. How do you think we're going to do tonight? And they all just looked at each other. And I think something clicked there, but it's a continuous process. And I think you always got to keep in mind is we're still playing with a whole bunch of juniors and sophomores and just a couple seniors sprinkled in there. So there's always growth. There's always learning to take place. And sometimes that learning happens between your ears too, is being mentally tough and being resilient and being tough enough to not let negativity and doubt and fear creep in and just turning the page and being positive. That would be where I think we need to be, because we have the athletes, we have the athleticism, the speed. It's just trusting in our abilities to continue to be successful on a day-in, day-out basis.
We have done some shuffling with your lineup this year, and one of the changes was to move Carter Smith into that leadoff spot. And I think one of your objectives was to just mix up some of your speed and your power guys, right?
Yep, for sure. a lot of speed at the top of that lineup. Liked that a lot. And then Kale just needed a different scenery down there. Maybe see some more fastballs, a different spot in the lineup, get him some confidence. And I see it. He's coming around. And it's also, it avoids us, even with like Cooper and Summers down there in the bottom, we can run. So that was kind of the idea. We go speed, power, speed, power, speed, power, speed, speed. That way we're always putting pressure, you know, ball on the ground. Cooper Cox is probably a 60-40 ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he puts the ball on the ground. He gets out of the box really well. Same with Carter Smith. They don't have to. We talk about a lot. I know kids love to drive the ball out of the yard. Everybody wants to talk about hitting home runs, doubles, and triples. But the bottom line is if you can hit the ball hard on the ground and make a high school kid field the ball off a high school field and throw it to another high schooler, it's a pretty good chance that you're going to be on base more often than not. And so that's just it. We're working on cutting down strikeouts. We're working on hitting the ball hard on a line, hitting the ball where it's pitched, work on going the other way. And they're up to the task. We've been doing extra hitting in the morning. On game days, we're hitting early. We're hitting at normal BP. They go in between games, get some more swings. So it's not that they're not working on it. It's, you know, we've been condensed. We haven't had that spring league stuff that we've been able to, like we normally, you know, you get your April spring leagues, you get some early season tournaments with all those extra at-bats and extra looks. It's, we've been kind of thrown into the fire against the top 10 every night in, night out. And there's going to be times when you're just not going to be successful. It's learning how to be mentally tough and push through that.
Well, after this holiday weekend, you will get a chance to see Dowling then on Monday, and obviously that could be a preview of the sub-state final. You know, I don't know if you've looked that far ahead or not, but you know, have you thought about how you'll approach that doubleheader? I mean, would you want them to see your best pitchers or maybe not?
So on Monday, that seating meeting's already done. I don't think they need to see anything that they would see on a Wednesday. I'm sure that they would probably take the same approach. That doesn't mean we wouldn't, like, go out and be competitive and use some of our, like, three, four guys, mm-hmm. at least to start. But, yeah, I don't anticipate letting them see the guy that I said is going to throw tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, Dowling has had a great year, even though, you know, its best pitcher, Carter Baumler, you mentioned him, was selected by Baltimore in the recent MLB draft, and he has elected to turn pro. Now, looking ahead to next year's draft, you know, you've got a guy or two on your team that could potentially get drafted. You know, I'm sure there have been, you know, plenty of scouts looking at Brody and Weston, don't you think?
Yeah, I know Brody just got invited to something at Kauffman Stadium. I haven't gotten all the details on that yet, but I think it's the MLB just kind of got released to start the scouting process when they were in that whole not sure if we're going to play or not yet mm-hmm. mode. There were some restrictions placed on, so I think some of that's starting to come around. I could coach for another 30, 35 years and not come across an athlete with just the pure athletic raw talent as a Brody Breck. I've said it before, kids that size don't usually move that well, or they don't have a lightning bolt for a right arm. I don't know if you saw that throw he made at Waukee the other night to peg that runner at third.
No, I did not see that.
But it was something to see coming in from center field. I mean, he certainly has a chance. I don't know. I want Brody to do what Brody wants to do, right? So if that's go in the draft to baseball, or if that's go play football and baseball at Iowa, all I care to me is that he's happy with his decision and he gets to do what he loves to do.
Well, I asked him on my podcast a couple of weeks ago, you know, what it would take for him to bypass football and sign with an MLB team, you know, and he told me it would have to be an incredible offer just because, you know, he badly wants to play football at Iowa and probably baseball as well. And I know signability is one of the factors that those teams consider when it comes to the draft. So because of that, do you think maybe he'll be selected lower than what maybe he would have been otherwise?
That's a really tough question to answer. I think it would – if he goes to a couple of things, it gets eyes on him and hits the right numbers. Like I know Southeast Polk told me they had him at 95 on Monday. And people are going to look at him as the athlete he is. And there's certainly some refinement in mechanics, but Brody's a multi-sport guy. You know, he's a track, baseball, football. And he doesn't have the time to sit there and work on mechanics of his throwing year round. He's doing other things, and I love that. I love that he's a three-sport athlete mm-hmm. at Ankeny High School. But an MLB scout is likely going to see him, see his athleticism, and be like, wow, there's more mile an hour. There's a couple more ticks on the radar gun there just simply by mechanical refinement alone. It certainly has some God-given talent there that's very, very special.
Oh, yeah. Well, assuming that he does end up at Iowa, he also told me that he isn't sure what his role will be with the Hawkeyes. He might lean toward pitching and possibly becoming a closer just because then he wouldn't have to, you know, work on his hitting as well. You know, do you think that would be a good way for him to go?
I think for him to meet the expectations of what the football program is going to have on him in the weight room and on the football field, taking care of business in the classroom, and then on top of being able, I think pitching is probably what they're looking for. I'm not saying that it's probably that playing outfield and hitting would be off the table, but it would be much easier for him to be in a closer role.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have an 18-year-old who throws in the mid-90s. He can come in and get his pitcher workouts, go do his wide receiver workouts, hit the weight room, and make it to class. I think that would be much more manageable than going through all that comes with playing a position in college baseball and all, and the practices and the communication and all that stuff.
Sure. Well, Weston's another player that could have some options. You know, with his size and being a left-hander, don't you think he's got a chance to get drafted too?
He might. He very well might. We need to continue to refine, and I think he needs to increase his strike rate a little bit. They'll look at that. But they're with his size, and the people who talk to me about Weston talk about projectability, and you just don't see a junior. You know, he's 16. I'm sure he's 17 by now. 17-year-olds that are left-handed. I mean, that's a pretty good-sized kid, and he's also a pretty good athlete. You know, he moves well for his size. Plays tight end on the football team. And he swings a bat pretty well too. Great defensive first baseman, probably the best defensive first baseman I've ever been around. And I don't know, if you're playing infield, imagine Jace Bauer having that target to throw to over there.
Oh, so yeah.
If you overthrow him, it's probably on you.
For sure. Well, Joe, thanks a lot for coming today. Appreciate it. Should be a fun doubleheader tomorrow night. I'll see you down there.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me, Dan.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Iowa Realty is very proud and fortunate to have Home Services Lending, Iowa Title, Midland Title, and its growing Home Services Insurance as part of their one-stop shopping model. They're able to help you buy and sell anywhere in the state of Iowa. They can also help you, your family, and friends who are moving from anywhere to anywhere in the world through their business affiliates. If you would like information on how to become a realtor, you can call Mike Stanbro at 453-5350, or you can email Mike at mikestanbro, that's S-T-A-N-B-R-O-U-G-H, at iowarealty.com. Come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. We'll be talking to both of Ankeny's athletic directors, as well as another CIML athletic director that many of the people in Ankeny are probably already familiar with. So come back next week for that podcast.